As we left off the previous year, we're discussing this question that may very well have been a machlekes rishonim. For sure, was a discussion amongst the achronim about whether the principle of chazaka, the fact that the Torah lets us rely on the status quo, lets us either lekula or even lechumra, we follow the status quo. Whether that applies only when you have a suffik in mitzius, we're not sure what the physical facts on the ground were. But whether that applies when you have a suffik in halacha as well. How in the world do we get onto this? Because the Ran said. That at any time you have a case of a suffik kedushin, like the Nosanuv Amrahi, even though it's a suffik in halacha, we don't know what the din is. Nevertheless, in the Torah, you follow the chazaka, you follow the woman's original status as being not married, she remains not married until proven otherwise. So in Mishnah Melech, another question whether that was really true. So we quoted at the end of the Shir, last week, we quoted from the Stipler. That the Stipler suggests that what exactly is the root of the question? Why should we say one way, why say the other way? The Stipler says it ultimately boils down to what exactly is a chazaka. Is a chazaka what we call a birur, or is a chazaka we call a hanhaga? Chazaka as a birur means that the Torah tells us that we have proven what the reality is. It means whenever you have a chazaka, so the Torah tells us that's a proof, that's a birur. We can say with 100% certainty, these are the facts. What chazaka as a hanhaga means is we have no idea what happened. We're in this dark the same way we were in the dark a minute ago, before we relied on the chazaka. The Torah tells us that when in the dark, when you have a suffix, you don't know what to do. So you still have chazaka, you follow what the chazaka was, but it's not b'Torah's birur as a vaday, it's b'Torah's dinanoga as a Torah's suffix. So my lomdish, a fancy terminology, tachas, what's the difference? So the Stipler explains that what if the nature of the suffix is a suffix in halacha? So if it's a suffix in mitzius, so I can understand that you can be mevar with the mitzius is. But if it's a suffix in halacha, what do you mean you're going to be mevar with the halacha is? Ravina and Ravashi told you they don't know what the halacha is. Nobody knows what the halacha is. So because you, 1,000 years later, have a chazaka, I'm smarter than the Gemara. I can be mevarer with the Mitzias. That's absurd. So if chazaka is going down the route of being mevarer the halacha. Mevarer Mitzias maybe, but you can't be mevarer the halacha. Mashenkin, if you hold that a chazaka is not a birur. We're not proving anything. We know as much and as little as we knew a moment ago. Ella, the Torah says, when you have a suffik, you have a right to follow the rule of chazakas, even though the case remains a suffik. So good, so it was a suffik, is a suffik, will always be a suffik, and I'm still going to follow the chazakas. What's the difference, whether it's a suffik in halacha or a suffik in mitzvahs? That's how we left it off pretty much at the end of the shiur on Friday. So now the question is, so which one is it? We created the chakira, now we have to put the pieces into place. So what exactly is the answer to this question? Is chazaka meikar fundamentally is a birur, that's mevayer what the facts are, or is chazaka fundamentally just a dinan hagam? So there is a sugya in the ninth of the Maamar Kamos, in the back of the Maamar Kamos, Maamar Kamos number 9, and we hopped around a little bit in Yom Yom, so it happens to be a B'dikas Chavetz sugya. So it's hopefully a B'dikas Chavetz sugya that will not take place in any of our homes. You'll see in a moment why. So the Gemara in the ninth of the Maamar Kamos, in Pesachim Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Tzivar Echad Shel Chametz, Ulefarav Shnei Batim Bedukin. If a person has a pile of Chametz sitting outside, and in front of that pile are two houses, and both houses have already been shechted for chametz. So the balas habayis in both houses is very, very happy. She's already cooking for Pesach. There happens to be a pile of chametz 10 feet away. Doesn't concern us. But now's the trouble is. Also achbar b'shachol. Now a mouse comes and he grabs a piece of chametz. V'lo yadinan ilahai al ilahai al. And we're not sure which of the two houses did this mouse go into. Now, of course, that's going to sounds like Dr. Seuss, the mouse in the house. So why is this a disaster? It's a disaster because although each house, in theory, was batel, so each house had solved its Pesach, pre-Pesach issues, but now, once Imtum Talama, the Chametz came into this house, so then this house now becomes once again a Makom Shemachnisim B'Chametz. Once it's a Makom Shemachnisim B'Chametz, then you have to do B'dikas Chametz over again. So Lamash, I do a great B'dikas Chametz, Kabbalah B'dikas Chametz, the Matid comes running in and eating a cookie all over the place. So if I can't control anymore where the chametz is, so then I have to do another piece of chametz. So now the shail is, did the mouse come into the house? Which house did the mouse go into? Which one lost its status as cheskas of baduk? So the Gemara says that this shail is not a b'dikas chametz shail, this is a kolter. Kula shaila hanu shnei shvilin. This is a similar shaila to a shaila that we find in Hichos Tumah V'Tahara. Shvil means a highway, means a road. Similar case, this now we learned the following Mishnah. Shnei Shvilin, if there are two roads in front of us, Echad tamei v'echad tahor. One road is tamei, one road is tahor. What it means tamei? It means I know for a fact there was a dead body buried on one of these roads. I just can't remember which one it is. So v'halach b'echad mehen, and I went ahead and I walked on one of these roads, and I don't know which one I walked. I mean, I know which one I walked on, but I'm just not sure which one was the tamei road. So now the mace is buried in such a way that, depends how the mace is buried, but it's buried in such a way that if I walk over the mace, imtum zulamin, that I'm walking over the mace, so then it turns out that I am becoming tamei. The only problem is, I'm just not sure whether the road that I walked on is the one that's tamei or not. So v'halach b'echad mehen be'asataros. And then, to make matters worse, I walk down one of the roads, and after that, I touch something that's tahor. U'bachaveir v'halach b'sheni. And then my friend walks on the other road, the asataros, and he also does taros. So now we have these two piles of food in front of us. One of them was touched by me. One of them was touched by my friend. The problem is that one of them is for sure tamei. We just have no clue which one it is. So Yehuda Omer, so Yehuda says as follows: Im nishalu zeh b'fnei atzmo b'zefnei atzmo tahorin. That if each one asks the shaila independently, so then the Beis Din gives a psach, well, your tahor, and the other fellow asks the psach, your tahor. But shnei b'vas achas, if they both come and ask together, then tamein. Then we have to declare that they're both tamein. Rabbi Yossi says, Bengach or Bengach tamein. Rabbi Yossi says, it doesn't make a difference. They're always considered to be tamein. So what exactly is the issue? So the Gemara continues. Amar Rava. Vitei Rabbi Yochanan. Rava or Rabbi Yochanan said as follows. B'vas achas divya kol tamein. Everybody agrees that if both people show up in front of the Beis Din together and they ask, Mamash b'vas achas, we must declare they're both tamein. There's no question. Why? But it's a contradiction, say otherwise. How can Beis Din say with a straight face, your Torah, your Torah? We know for a fact that one of them is tummy. We know for a fact that one of the Taros just became tummy. So if it's Bevas Achas, for sure it's tummy. Bezech Azeh, Divrekot Tehorin. If each one asks independently, one after another, then for sure we're going to pass it to both Torah. Because it's not a literal contradiction, because it's not happening simultaneous. Lo nechaku the homach like as atanoim was el bevali shal alav yal chaveiro. So I come and I ask a shayla and I say, what's the din for me and for my friend? So Rabbi Yossi b'damle bas achas. Rabbi Yossi says, since I'm asking, presenting both shaylas together, that's like bas achas, and therefore we have to declare they're both tamei. Rabbi Yudim b'damle zechazeh. Rabbi Yudim says that's like one asking after another, and therefore we can declare they're both tahor. So when all the dust settles, the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi was in a very, very technical case, very, very small window that they were arguing about. The fundamental principles of the Shaila, everybody agrees to. Namely, if the Shailas happen simultaneous, if the people present themselves together, then for sure we have a problem. If they present themselves separately, for sure we don't have a problem. And the Machlekes is, what's called simultaneous, what's called separate. That's the way the sugya plays out. So the Rishonim are bothered. What's the background to this sugya? It's clear from this sugya that me'ikar adin, they're really both tahor. Means, well, we're having kunsum here. Is that called asking together? Is that called asking separately? In and here, but in our heart of hearts, we really truly believe that both of them are tahor, which is quite a startling statement. How could we really believe they're both tahor? At the end of the day, we know that there's a tamei highway, and we know that one of them walked on the tamei highway. So Tosus on the 11th of the Mamakomos tells us what the secret behind this entire sugya is. Says Tosus, the last line of the Mamakomos. Tosus says, "B'vas achas divrei kol tamei." When the Gemara said that if they both ask together, for sure they're both tamei, says Tosus, "Nir dahanu midirabbanan." Says Tosus, this entire sugya b'tchilu itself is only a chumra midirabbanan. Why is that? To midaraisa filu vas achas tahorim, because min haTorah we could paskin that they're both tahor. Min haTorah, Reuven and Shimon standing in front of us at the exact same moment, we know for an absolute fact that one of them walked over a kever. Not even a shaila. In Metzias, one of them walked over a kever. We look at Reuven and we say tahor. Look at Shimon and we say tahor. They're both tahor. No questions asked. The fact that we don't like to do that, says Tosfos, that's a chumah min derabbanan. It looks silly. Everyone's going to think, the rabbanim don't know what they're talking about. Don't the rabbis realize that one of them is tamei? So it doesn't look right. So according to Tosfos, the machlekes atanoim about, is that called bas achas? Is that called bezeh chazeh? That's a detailed machlekes within this chumra derabbanan of not looking right. How far does this chumra derabbanan go? But if you want to know what the real din is, what's the din deraisa? Din deraisa is yotar and yotar, mamash, two sides of a mouth, we talk at the same time, tar, no ands, and buts on love of deraisa. Why? Where in the world did that come from? So Tosfos explains back at the beginning of the 11th of the Mamre Kamos. So Tosfos writes, at the end of the first line, the mokminan la becheskes tahorim. Says Tosfos, the magic word is, each one has a cheskes tahara. That Reuven has a cheskes tahara, and Shimon has a cheskes tahara. Reuven used to be tahor. We don't know whether he's tummy or not. We invoke the din of Maseches Chulin we talked about last week. We follow Chazokas. The Torah says, as a din, min haTorah, you follow Chazokah. If you used to be tahor, you remain tahor until proven otherwise. So when Reuven asks his Shaila, we say to him, you're tahor, based on the principle of cheskes tahara. When Shimon asks his Shaila, we say to him, you're tahor, based on the principle of cheskes tahara. It's impossible for them both to be tahor. So what? That's exactly what cheskes tahara means. Cheskes tahara means you're tahor and you're tahor. Do me something. It's impossible. Who cares that it's impossible? That sheet is at Tosfos. So come the Acharonim and say, the Shev Shmaitz and others say, that, wait a second, how could we issue such a psak with a straight face? How could we look both parties in the eye and say, Yotar and Yotar, knowing full well that it's physically impossible for that to be true? So comes the Shev Shmaitz, the Shev Shmaitz with the Balak Tzayis, comes the Shev Shmaitz and he says, the answer is very simple. It depends what you think a Chazokah is. If you think that a Chazokah is a biror, that the role of Chazokah is to be vivid with the emes is, we're using the principle of following the status quo to prove, so to speak, what happened. Says the Sheikh Shmaita, you can't prove two contradictory things. It is impossible to say, I've proven that Reuven is star, and I've proven that Shimon is star. Rabbi, you can't do that, because it's physically impossible for both of them to be tar. One of them walked on the bad highway. One of them is for sure tar to his maze. So says the Sheikh Shmaita, if you would hold that the role of Chazokah is to be mevarer, you can't have a biror in a tie to disaster. You can't be mevarer two things that are mutually exclusive logically of one another. But, says the Sheikh Shmaita, if you hold that the entire goal of Chazokah is not to prove anything, I have no idea what happened. And quite frankly, I couldn't care less what happened. All I want to know is, I have a suffix. It was a suffix. Remains a suffix. Like the suffix, we all avoid. Zaloch patli what the facts are. All I want to know is as follows. I have a suffix. Do I have the right to latch on to that din haTorah, that din hanhaga of Chazokah? So the answer is yes. So Reuven has a right to latch on to that din Chazokah. So the din Chazokah tells him that he's tahor. It doesn't tell him what the facts are. He's not asking. We don't ask. We don't tell you. We're not telling you what the facts are. We don't care what the facts are. All we care about is, do you have a Chazokah or not? So the answer is you do. Reuven has a Chazokah, and Shimon has a Chazokah. So says the Shev Shmaitza, this Tosfos only makes sense. You can only understand this din of following Chazokah in a situation with tied to the Sasre, if you're willing to understand that a Chazokah is based on not a Birur, but rather a Din Hanhaga. Two Din Hanhaga can be so to one another. But not everyone agrees to this Tosfos. So we take a look at Rashi, back to the Maimon before, the 10th of the Maimon Kamos. So Rashi says that why is it that in our heart of hearts we're not going to declare that they're both tamei? Okay, the Kaimalan says Rashi, Besufik Tuma Bishus Arabim, Sveko Tahor. Says Rashi, he pulls out a new halacha called Sufik Tuma Bishus Arabim. The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Maseches Chulin that we have a special tradition, the Pashas of the Gemara is that it's halacha Moshe Mesinai, that the rules of Sveikas, as they play out in Tuma Vitahara, are different than the rules of Sveikas and Isurim. When it comes to Isurim, so we all know the dinim, that Sveikah deraisa l'chumra, if you have a Sveik, Sveikah, it's l'kula. If you have a double doubt, two reasons for it to be mutter, then it's going to be mutter. Those rules are only true in Isurim, Sha'anuch HaShabbos, and Kashrus, Nid, etc. In the realm of Nid, bad example, because Nid may be a little bit too mutar, also we'll leave that out for now. But let's say you have a Shalan in Huchas Tumah V'Tahara. I want to know, did this person touch the dead body? Did this person touch the sheretz? Did he come into contact with the nevela? What's the din? So then the Gemara says, all the dinim are different. Then the halacha says, it depends where the suffix took place. If the suffix occurred in a very private, secluded area called the Rishus HaYochid, then suffix tumor Rishus HaYochid l'chumra, whereas if the shayla happened in Rishus HaRabim, in a more public type of an area, then suffix tumor Rishus HaRabim is tahor. Where in the world did this come from? So the Gemara explains, these dinim are derived from sota. Sota is a strange situation. We have a suffix. We don't know whether this woman is Mazan or not. That's the bottom line. The husband warned her, she went b'yichud with somebody. We don't know. At the end of the day, we have no idea whether she was mezana or not. If she was mezana, then she's a asura labayla. If she wasn't mezana, then she's muteris labayla. It happens to be that the Torah calls the znus of an eshes ish tuma. The Torah says, v'nitma, v'nitma, v'nitma. The Torah uses the phrase v'nitma three times in Parshas, and also in the dinim of Sota. So the Gemara says that Sota takes on all the characteristics, almost like tuma v'tara. I mean, it's not real tuma v'tara. It's not going to the mikvah, you know. It's not the actual tuma v'tara. But al pi halacha, it has all the comparisons to ilchus tuma v'tara. So what does the Torah tell us in Parshas Sota? That if you have a suffik, whether the woman became tameo or not, so she's tameh, she's asur labayla until she drinks the water until proven otherwise. So we assume that she's tameh until we know to the contrary. Why? It's only a safek, because it took place in Rosh Hashanah, it says the Gemara. It says Allah Moshe Mesinai, that anything that takes place in Rosh Hashanah, it's very, very confined. It's very private. It's only him and her. So there's nobody else around. So that's called the Rosh Hashanah. So if you have an area where there are only two people around, that's called the Rosh Hashanah. And all sfeikas that happen in Rosh Hashanah, in Uchas Tuma go l'chumra. But if it would be a more public kind of an area, there'd be three people around, there'd be 1,000 people around in the middle of the street. So all sfeikas in Rosh Hashanah, by definition, go l'kula. So there are two special halachas, two dinim deraisa, that are derived from Parshas Sota. One is that Safek Tuma Rosh Hashanah is Tamei. The other is Safek Tuma Rosh Hashanah, the corollary is going to be Tahar. So Rashi says, on Pesach of Daf Yud, if you want to know why is it that these two fellows who walked on the roads are each tahar, each one is tahar, because each one could pull out the hat, suffik tu b'shus arabim. I have a suffik, and you have a suffik. So why did Rashi have to go running and searching for suffik tu b'shus arabim? What happened to chazaka? Tosfos is so much smoother, so much simpler. According to Rashi, we have to learn a whole new sugya about suffik tu b'shus arabim. Isn't Tosfos pshat simpler? Tosfos says, you follow the chazaka. So the simple pshat in Rashi is that Rashi held chazaka would not be effective here. Chazaka would fall short here. Why would chazaka fall short here? Because it's attacked in the sasrei. Because it's mutually exclusive. And you cannot follow chazaka when you have a contradiction in terms. You cannot issue two psakim that contradict one another if you're relying on hilchas chazaka. If you rely on a suffik tu b'shus arabim, that's a new din of Xeris HaKosav, Halach Moshe Sinai, that could break all rules of logic. But if you want to rely on chazaka, chazaka has to be potentially true. You can't pass it to chazaka if you know with absolute certainty it's just not true what you're saying. Why not? Why can't I pass it to chazaka if it's not true? So it would appear that Rashi undermines what we said before in the opinion of Tosfos. Whereas Tosfos was of the opinion that chazaka is not a mevarer. Chazok is a dinanaga, and therefore logic doesn't enter into the discussion. It doesn't bother me, says Tosfos, that the two psachim are contradictory, because neither one is a psach, but there is birur. But according to Rashi, it's quite possible the reason why Rashi veered away from Tosfos, the reason why Rashi said his omshat, he brought in Safek Tubishas Rab into the equation. The reason why Rashi said that was because Chazaka just wouldn't do the trick. Because Chazaka has to make sense, it has to be a birur, and if it can't make sense because it's contradictory, then it's not effective.
I don't think you can say here that it's a birur anyway, even if it's just one person. The fact that it would be mutar in either one of those two shvilim for that one person shows you that it's not a birur. In other words, if the guy came to Bezdin and said, whichever road he walked on, they would say that it's mutar,
right.
Even if there wasn't a second person.
You mean that in itself is contradictory?
That shows you that it's not a birur. That chazak is not a birur. It couldn't possibly be a birur because otherwise it wouldn't work for both either one of those two.
Interesting. Okay, I mean, you don't even need the second person to bring their eyes, right? Right. But that's why, according to Rashi, that. But Rashi holds that the issue in the sugya is not chazaka. According to Rashi, chazaka is off the charts. We're not even pasking
hilchos chazaka. But Rashi works very well because a shvil is just your typical, example of a.
It's a classic Rosh Hashanah. Can't get more Rosh Hashanah than a shvil. Right. But the question is, so why did Rashi have to? The question is, when Rashi gave the kula of Safek Tuma B'Shus Arabim, did Rashi mean to say that the other pshat is wrong? Or did Rashi mean this is also an acceptable pshat? So the Acharonim are assuming that Rashi disagreed with Tosfos because Api Din, Chazaka wouldn't work. Because Rashi really held in his heart of hearts, Chazaka has to make sense. It has to be logical. And if you have two contradictory psachim, that's illogical. So maybe you're right. Maybe.
Why doesn't Tosfos hold like Rashi?
Oh, very good. So you want to turn the shot around now on its head and say, what happened to somebody to Bishas Ram? That's a Gevaldik Akula. So the answer is that Tosas Lishitasim, because there's a Tosas Maseches Nida that says that the Kula of Safek Tu Bishas Arabim is only said when it's possible to be true. Because you can't have a contradiction in Hilchos Safek Tu Bishas Arabim. They have a whole Shitla Torah to explain why that's true. So there's a double Machlokes Rashi and Tosas here. There's a Machlokes within the rules of Chazakas and Machlokes within the rules of Safek Tuma. But getting back to the Hilchos Pesach part, because it is a couple of days before Pesach, because that's what my wife told me, she informed me, and continues to inform me. So the Gemara here quoted the sugi Psachim Daf Yud, not because we were learning Hilchos Tumah Batar, because we were talking about B'dikas Chametz. So the Gemara compared the case of the two fellows who walk down the road to the mouse that may have walked into one of the houses. And the Gemara was saying that, well, if the two owners of the houses, two separate houses, come and ask the shilas separately, then we're okay. If they ask the shilas together, then we have to tell them both to do B'dikas Chametz. That was the whole point of the sugya. So Gemara's comparing the two. So wait a second. What in the world is the comparison between the two? So Bishlam, according to Tosfos, the comparison makes a lot of sense. Because the underlying factor in the sugya, according to Tosfos, is Chazaka Meikara, is following the status quo, whatever the details of that following is. So just as you follow the status quo in Hilchas Tumah, the Gemara is saying you should follow the status quo in Hilchas Chametz as well. But according to Rashi, that there's something else that's going on here. This is not Chazaka. According to Rashi, Chazaka is not applying here. The real matter, the real kula in our sugya, the real issue in the sugya is Safek Tu B'Shus Arabim. What does that have to do with Hilchos Chametz? Hilchos Chametz is not a tu of a Tara Shaila. So according to Rashi, what in the world was the Gemara's equation? How could the Gemara extrapolate dinim of Safek Tumah to Safek B'Dikas Chametz? They have much to do with each other. So according to Tosfos, it's one underlying principle, kol ter kula, Chazaka, 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 either yeah, yeah, no, same time, different time, figure out what the rules are, and apply them from Tumah to B'dikas Chametz. But according to Rashi, that even in Hilchos Tumah, we weren't dealing with Hilchos Chazakas, we're dealing with Hilchos Tumah, so what's Pshat? So the Chor, according to Rashi, we have to say as follows, that just as in Hilchos Tumah, we have a Kula, that Safek Tumah B'Shus Arabim is Lekula, that's the start, that's a special din Hilchos Tumah, the Chor, you have to say that Safek B'dikas Chametz is Lekula as well. That you have to have some kind of a pre-existing din in Hilchos B'dikas Chametz that should force us to believe that we always go Lekula. And now the Gemara is asking, well, can you really apply that rule when it's attached to the Sasra, and then the whole sugya begins to compare? Unless you're willing to superimpose that Kula called Safek B'dikas Chametz Lekula, then the Gemara doesn't make any sense. Is that true? If I have a Safek B'dikas Chametz, I don't remember, I can't remember that I do B'dikas Chametz, not B'dikas Chametz, what do? Am I mechuv to B'dikas Chametz over again? So many Rishonim say, you're not mechuv to, you know why? Because B'dikas Chametz is only Midir Rabbanan, that Midat Torah, you never have to do B'dikas Chametz. Midat Torah, all you have to do is Bittul Chametz. The whole institution of B'dikas Chametz is Midir Rabbanan for a variety of reasons. Safek Rabbanan Lekula. If I don't remember whether I lit Chanukah candles, I don't have to light again. I don't remember whether I washed the Tosid Ayim, I don't have to wash again. I don't remember whether I did B'dikas Chametz, I don't have to bother doing it again. So if that's true, that there's a new halacha called Safek B'dikas Chametz Lekula, so then at least according to Rashi, you understand the parallel of the sugyas. The Safek Tumah, B'shus Arabim Lekula, the Safek B'dikas Chametz Lekula. Now the Gemara is discussing, what do you do when you have those klolim of shvekis that are now being attacked by attack to the Sasra, where do you go with that? Is that true? Is there such a principle called Safek B'dikas Chametz Lekula? It sounds right. Because Chometz is the Rabbanan, it makes a lot of sense. So there is a Magid Mishnah, and his comments in the Rambam, where the Magid Mishnah thinks that it's not true, that Safek B'dikas Chometz is not Lekula. The Rishonim will say it is, but the Magid Mishnah says he can't believe that it's true. Why? Manish, no pun intended, that Manish Tana B'dikas Chometz from all other Rabbanans, if we're Maker by Safek Kriyas HaMegillah, we're Maker Safek Neres Chanukah, Maker Safek Tos Yadayim, why are we Machmer? All of a sudden we turn around and we're more Machmer by Safek B'dikas Chometz. Says the Magid Mishnah, because the entire mitzvah B'dikas Chometz was instituted ala Safek. It's only because you don't know that there's Chometz there that you're doing B'dikas Chometz in the first place. So why don't I have a new kula in Hilchos B'dikas Chometz? I never have to do B'dikas Chometz. Why? There's only a Safek that I have Chometz there. Safek there about the kula. I was mevatel the Chometz anyway. So once I was mevatel the Chometz min haTorah, there's no problem. It's vital only a Safek. So I could turn around and say, it's Leo Yudalan. I don't have to waste my time doing B'dikas Chometz. Safek, there's Chometz there anyway. Safek there about the kula. So who trumps that? That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says beferish. Or the boss of Bekin is a chametz. That Chazal instituted that even though you should have been able to hide behind Safek B'dikas Chametz L'kula, that's exactly what the mitzvah is. Kach tikdu chachamim. To do B'dikas Chametz, ala Safek. So you're cheating if you turn around and say, well, I have a Safek, whether I have to do B'dikas Chametz, so I'm not going to do it. That's the famous pshat from the Magi Mishnah. It's not 100%, you know, the same. Other Rishonim would argue and say, no, it's not at all the same. In the case of Suffolk, whether I have chametz there, I haven't done B'dikas chametz yet. So I know for a fact I haven't done B'dikas chametz. Now we have a shaila, is the chametz or not? So Chazal mechayev to do B'dikas chametz when you have a Suffolk chametz. Here, I'm not sure whether I did B'dikas. It could be I was yotzei the mitzvah already. I did B'dikas chametz an hour ago, and now this silly mouse ran into my house, maybe ran into your house. So that's a different kind of a Suffolk. That's not the same Suffolk as the original Suffolk. That's a very lovely shashal hukas b'dikas chametz. From the fact that Chazal misakim b'dikas chametz for safek chametz, can we extrapolate from there that the rules of safek tabban l'kula don't apply to b'dikas chametz? And I say no, the regular rules do apply. You can't bring a raya from the etzavat takana. So when all the dust settles, that's probably not like his ration places. That when the Gemara is discussing here, following Chazal and not following Chazal, both by tuma and by chametz. So we're not sure, is the Gemara talking about Hukas Chazokas, or is the Gemara talking about some kind of new dinim of Hukas Safik, Tum Hukas Safik, B'dikas Chametz, etc. But Hayotzim and Advarim was relevant for us. We're not learning B'dikas Chametz right now, we're not learning the Tumah right now. What's the Gela Maisa for us is, what do you do when you have a Chazokah, and you have a tied to the Sasre type of an issue? Can you rely on Chazokah, but Mokam died to the Sasre? So the Achronim, right? Depends what you think Chazokah is. If Chazokah is a din hanhaga, so the answer is going to be one way. If Chazokah is a biro, then the answer is going to be that's not going to be effective. So again, this is all going back to our original question with Iran, back that sugya of Nasanuva Amrahi. What are you doing? You have a Safek Kedushin. Can you really, truly, at least in the Torah, follow Chazokah down? So we have to fine tune this a little bit, hopefully, tomorrow, try to figure out a little bit more about just how far Chazokah is going to go and not going to go, and how it ultimately is going to come back to Masech Kedushin.